Finding great daycare can be hard. Sometimes finding any daycare can be hard. Just ask Megan Hoy of Merrimack, who tried everything to find a place for her three kids.
They were all 4, 2, and a newborn. So there was a time that they were all, I was looking for daycare at the point that they were all under school age. So there was no way I could afford it.
Hoy runs a business that retrofits buildings for energy efficiency. At first, she and her husband relied on their parents to look after the children, but they weren't always available for full-time care. Then Hoy started working afternoons and evenings so she could be home with the kids while her husband was on the job, but they both ended up exhausted. Eventually, she found a relatively affordable center, but the kids hated it.
When I picked them up, they were as sad as when I dropped them off. I said, this isn't working. This is not going to work.
Kristen Smith of the Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire says rising childcare costs over the last decade have hit low-income families particularly hard.
Low-income families pay about 23% of their total family income on childcare, which is significantly more than families at or above 200% of poverty who paid 9% of their total family income to childcare.
In Hoy's case, when she found a good program at the local YMCA, it ended up costing about 37% of the family's income. And cost isn't the only hurdle low-income families have to overcome. Access is a problem, too, especially in more rural parts of the state. Kristen Smith says those in many lower-paying sectors, like retail, have irregular or unpredictable work schedules.
Those families may rely on other family members, other types of childcare that they can call on a short notice, but they may be not having the quality child care that they would have if their child was in the same sort of regular child care arrangement, which we know that that's good for children in terms of child development and school readiness.
New Hampshire's child care system can be hard to measure because it tends to be more decentralized than in other states. And early education takes many forms, including child care centers and preschools, home-based providers, and kids who stay at home with parents or relatives. What we do know, though, reveals something called a preschool poverty gap. Education Week magazine's research center found overall preschool enrollment in New Hampshire was higher than in most states. But while about 60% of families earning $100,000 a year or more send their 3- and 4-year-olds to preschool programs, that number was only 40% for families with a household income of $20,000 or below. That concerns Jackie Cowell of Early Learning New Hampshire, which provides training for child care providers. She says research on child brain development shows child care is much more than an economic support for working parents.
So the brain architecture is really built from the bottom up. It's like a house. The opportunities that you give the children as they're growing up is sort of like the foundation. So it'll either be a sturdy or a fragile foundation, depending on those experiences that the young child will have in their first 5 years of life. So everything is going to be built on top. The learning, the behavior, the health, it like a house. Like I said, it all gets built from the bottom up.
And Cowell says you can see the effects of a consistent, high-quality child care experience throughout a child's life.
So they'll enter school ready to succeed, but then they'll also be more likely to graduate, more likely to have terrific income. When they do graduate from college, they'll be more productive members of our society. So there's lots of studies that there's a short-term benefit. The parents can work, but then also they enter school better, and then they'll be actually do much better as citizens later on.
Education Week's Research Center found that while the national gap on preschool participation is widening slightly, New Hampshire's gap has been getting smaller over time. Cowell says the state has taken some steps to make it easier for some low-income families.
We give assistance for families earning incomes up to a higher level than most states, because we know that when they did fall off the cliff, based on their income, some state assistance, they were spending like 50% of their take-home pay on childcare once they went off of state assistance. And so what's the incentive to go off of state assistance? So the good news is we are finding that families really are staying self-reliant. They are going off assistance and staying off.
But Cowell says many who qualify for state childcare assistance still can't afford care, in part because lawmakers reduced the level of childcare tuition assistance by about $8 million, or 22%, to help close state budget gaps in 2010. One place that might point to a new model is a child care center based in an old mill building near Laconia's downtown. Lakes Region Child Care Services operates this center and several others in the area, serving more than 400 children last year. About 20 of those children are on the playground as Executive Director Marty Ilg shows me around.
So they'll be planting the gardens soon. This program's going to have a farmer's market here once a week out in the parking lot for parents and local residents. So we're very much tapped into that.
Lakes Region is tapped into a lot. Its food program means kids have fresh fruits and vegetables each day instead of chicken nuggets and tater tots. A partnership with Lakes Region Community College brings education students on-site to work with staff. Centers are built close to affordable housing developments so families can walk over. Lakes Region has licensed plus certification from the state. Fewer than 10% of centers have such accreditation. And a 2014 analysis found it has the second lowest tuition rates in the state for a licensed or licensed plus center. Tuition isn't the same for every family, but the average cost per child works out to $27 per day. But Ilk says finding a way to have both high quality and affordability wasn't easy. When the center lost state grant money in 2009, they realized they had to do something differently. They found community partners, nonprofit groups, and businesses willing to invest. Volunteers help out, and the centers buy supplies in bulk. The savings was put back into programs and personnel. Ilg points to similar collaborations in other parts of the state, such as the Seacoast Early Learning Alliance, as evidence this model can work.
To me, childcare makes the world go round. We're supporting parents' ability to work, and we're helping children develop optimally. We're helping the next generation of people who will live, learn, and lead in New Hampshire. I mean, I just think it's pretty cool.
Ilg and other New Hampshire childcare advocates say there needs to be coordination even beyond educators, social service agencies, nonprofits, and employers. Helping to do that is Laura Milliken, who directs the state's Early Learning Advisory Council, Spark New Hampshire.
Often extreme poverty goes with lack of access to health care, lack of access to high-quality early childhood education. Often families don't have the support they need to give children what they need.
Both Milliken and Jackie Cowell of Early Learning New Hampshire say there's been discussion of increasing child care assistance in the next two-year state budget. But if so, Cowell says it probably won't be on the level of the $3 to $5 million a year she says it would take to make high-quality child care available across the state.
And we know that by giving them those early experiences, it's built into their body for better or for worse if they have poor experiences, that it's really our future workforce that we're talking about. 20 years seems like a long way away. It's not. It's not. So let's do it right.
For now, people like Megan Hoy, the business owner in Merrimack, are going to have to make difficult decisions when it comes to childcare. The youngest of Hoy's three kids is finishing kindergarten, which means next school year's childcare will cost less, but she doesn't expect the household budget to get much simpler anytime soon.
I have heard from people I know and love who have said, well, it is your choice. I can understand why someone may say, why are you taxing me for their choice to have children? And I think that's valid as well. But it's really not sustainable. We're killing ourselves. We are all, as a group, not doing ourselves any favors.
For NHPR News, I'm Brady Carlson.